Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am MTG Peddler.
I'm Slothy.
And this week, we have a very, very special guest, Stephen Ramos from Unstable Realm. Stephen, how's it going over there, bud?
It's doing great. You know, I'm happy to be here, actually be a guest on this podcast and following up on the great Justin Parnell. You know, I got some big shoes to follow up on.
Hey, you'll get there, bud. I'm not even worried about you. You're going to do fantastic.
Yes, yes, you will. Proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, and they've got great prices on singles and sealed product. I shop there myself. Also, you guys have a promo code TCC2021 at checkout. Save 10% off your order, and they have a new program where they're buying your singles. You get an extra 10% cash, and it helps kick back on the podcast. Also, we're partnered with the Facebook group, Magic the Gathering Players Group. And as you know, Stephen, more than anybody, we're proudly partnered with Unstable Realm over on YouTube. So again, man, thanks for coming on the show with us.
Well, of course. I'm excited to be here.
I hope you're excited for this week's card of the week, bud. It is going to be actually chosen by Unstable Realms. You already know what it is. You're cheating a little bit on us here, but that's okay. This week, card of the week is going to be Gold Span Dragon. We have casting costs of 3 generic and 2 red. Creature Dragon coming in at mythic rare. Has flying and haste. Whenever Gold Span Dragon attacks or becomes the target of a spell, create a treasure token. Treasures you control have tap, sacrifice this artifact, add 2 mana of any one color. Now, if any of you guys have played on Arena, I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with this card.
Yeah. Very.
Goldspan Dragon is everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say whether I was excited. I remember doing a little preview for this card, going through spoilers, and this is one of the ones that stuck out to me the most, of course. I think it's one that those keywords just obviously shout out powerful.
Yeah.
You have a problem with it in standard sometimes. I'm not going to lie. You know, where I'll kill it, it comes back. You know, I'm seeing, what is it? Exile, and it's easy, right?
Yeah.
For me, playing Rogue, like if I want to like brazen borrow this back to your hand, I'm basically, you know, you have your getting like a mana to get it back anyway. You know, it's not fun to deal with.
No, it's not. And when I first played against it, I remember like what you're saying too, Peddler. I was just unsummoning it back to your hand. That's really all I can do. And then I'm like, I'm going to have to splash white or something. After a while, it just dawned on me. I'm like, man, blue's just not going to cut it with this guy.
You can always just counter it.
Yeah.
Once you know it's common, you know, if you have a counter in hand, you just counter it next turn. You can kind of prep for it and take the 4 instantly and be like, all right, whatever.
I'm glad they picked this as card of the week because it does bring up, you know, a good subject, in my opinion, that it's a very strong card where you almost have to warp your deck around once you come across it in the meta. You know, you're like, oh.
I wouldn't necessarily say warp, but it's definitely something that you want to have a response to immediately. It's not something you want hanging around. This is the kind of card where it's like, as soon as it's on board and it sticks and it has a board presence, it's like, okay, I need to deal with this immediately. This is now my priority.
This is definitely a very hate-drawing card.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of the designs of it, right? Where you get the treasure even when it is targeted, right? Yeah. So it's one they definitely knew that was going to be a thing, right? They knew they were putting the target on here. Same thing when they did Terror of the Peaks, right? The whole idea of having to pay life to target it.
Yes.
And so trying to give you back that value on something that's going to be destroyed every time it enters.
Yeah, and even like we were talking about just unsummoning it, you're already giving them a mana to play it back. They're already like one ahead already.
All right, let's go to page 2, top decks of the week. So last week, as you know, Peddler, we had to, you know, skip past it and circle back to it.
Yeah, there wasn't much meta change last week, so we touched on it, but
this week we got, I want to go ahead and just touch base on the top 5 real quick. So in standard, you got Sultai Ultimatum, number 1 deck, and then I'll just go in that order, right? Number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. Red deck wins. Naya Adventures, Tamir Adventures, and Dimir Rogues, number 5.
That's good to see Rogues still hanging in there.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, top 5.
Love my look. Yeah. That's top 5? That's fine.
I do believe it actually won a challenge last week, too.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, nice.
Rogues.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like it. It's a very, very, very like just easy deck. It's fun to play.
It's fair-ish.
It's a fair-ish deck.
Was it you, Peddler, or was it Josh Skipper I played against with Rogues? They pulled out Rogues. It must have been Skipper.
Yeah, I don't think it was me.
I went to I think it was a little Swedo tournament, you know, and I was like, what do you got? And he's like, Rogues. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, oh, man. All right, so let's move over to Historic real quick. Jund Sacrifice, number one. Rogue and Unclassified. We talked about that a couple episodes ago. Azurius Control, Selesnya Company, and Red Deck Wins. Now, I do believe Historic will be changed once they come out. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Modern, which I think also will get a change. We got Boros Burn, Jund, Red Deck Wins, Humans, and Dredge. It's good to see Dredge. You know,
Dredge making the comeback.
One of the things I'm really happy to report on this one. Legacy. It's going to make me want to build a Legacy deck. You'll see why here. Death and Tax is number one still. Omnitel, number two. Dark Depths.
Sultai deck.
Miracles and Reanimator. I don't know about you guys, but I'm happy to see Miracles here. A new variant, I understand. But half of these cards, if not 70% of it, I have. And this is the deck I want to build. Do you see it right there?
It's always good to have like 70% of any Legacy deck.
Yeah. Well, I guess that depends on what's the 30% missing, right?
This is also true.
Yeah, I did disclose that. I did not disclose that. Yeah. That is funny. And let's go over to Paw for this week. Number one, we got Mono Black Control, Mono Red Burn, Boros Flashback, Mono Green Stompy, and last but not least, Five Color Tron.
All Tron.
Yeah, but five color.
Yes.
I will cover Pioneer and Slothy. If you could, would you do Commander this week?
Sure.
For Pioneer, we've got number one, Mono Black. Number two, Red Deck Wins. Number three is Bant Spirits. Boros Deck Wins. And last but not least, Shram Auras. But yeah, Slothy, if you can take over for the Commander top five.
For sure.
This week.
So number one, we've got Rograk, Son of Roga. And this one's actually been expanding its lead quite a bit. But next up, we got Timna the Weaver. Then Krom, Ludovic's Opus. In fourth place, we've got Thrasios. And in fifth, we've got one that's actually been creeping up for a couple weeks here. Omnath, Locus of Creation.
Whoa.
This has been one I've been excited to even hear about on the podcast of what are the stats changing for the Commander decks the last little while. I think at the time, I think hearing about like Rograk was like a fun, silly card. And then being able to see what people have been able to do with it. I've even had friends recently having to try and like tone down a Boros Commander deck because it was able to get off too quickly for like their pod. And that was one that like people would have thought is unheard of before Commander Legends.
Yeah, Rograk is insane.
Wouldn't you, and I'm just a new Commander player here, wouldn't you just make that a CEDH deck, put it aside for when you're not playing, you know, and then when you're doing casual, then build another casual Commander deck? Wouldn't you just do that?
That's definitely kind of in my wheelhouse where I'll make like a strong deck and have that set as this is my strong deck. We're going to play higher level. Unfortunately, I know not everyone kind of goes into that mindset, right? So there's some people who go, they're going to have their one deck to play. Or even things of within, are they playing in their normal play group who all play very powerful? And then the one time they play somewhere else, what happens, right?
Yeah.
If I'm playing CEDH and then go into the shop one day and I just sit down with three other people, it's wild card, right?
Yeah,
and that's where even the communication within Commander becomes so important.
I really do love the format. It's starting to be my most favorite format, and it's hard for me to say that, you know, that it's beaten Modern's Cube, you know, in my opinion. I like it so much. I can see why Commander players have so many decks. I really do.
I'm sitting here like the one guy that's never played Commander.
Oh yeah, honestly, it's something interesting. It's the thing I played the most. But even over the last year of playing, you know, try to do a little bit more arena and doing a lot of MTGO to play the other formats is something where if when I haven't played Modern for a while and I get to play, you know, Titan Shift or something, or I haven't played Pauper in a while and I get to go in Stompy, there is a whole like elegance of the game going to like, this is a 60 card format. You're going to know what cards you're going to get. You're going to make the deck work how it's supposed to, as opposed to like the Rude Goldberg machine of what is EDH.
All right, guys. So I'm going to be covering Movers and Shakers this week. And to start us off, we've got Scroll Rack at $25. That is a slight downtrend. We've got another slight downtrend in Opposition Agent at $16.04. The next one we've got is another slight or a stable downtrend, but still going down nonetheless, is Turn Timber Symbiosis at $6.75. And at number three this week, up 663.11% at $55.86 is Magma Sliver. But there's something interesting about this. On this list here, there are other slivers that have gone up as well. There is also Brood Sliver, Synapse Sliver, and Gale Rider Sliver. And I think that is attributed to all of the sliver love in Time Spiral Remastered.
Lots of sliver love there.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But at number two, we've got up 2,909.52% at $12.64 is Illumination. And why do you think this has gone up so far, Peddler?
I'm sorry, what card was it?
Illumination. Counter target artifact or enchantment spell. That spell's caster gains an amount of life equal to that spell's casting cost for two white.
You're asking for my opinion. I actually don't know why that would go up so much. Anyone else want to chime in and have a guess? I'm like thinking.
So, and to think that it's that huge of a percentage, the most I can see is the more limited colors, like I said, even something like Commander, which is known to kind of change the pricing, you know, people will really go for cards in that. Something in Mono White, like Counter is very limited, right? You got Mana Tithe and Memory Lapse, right? What else do you really have? At least this is going to answer Artifact and Enchantment. That is a key part of a lot of people's win cons right there.
I'm going to take a guess. There's they're trying to change what they're doing with Boros. Am I close or no?
Maybe. I mean, sort of. They're trying to add more like different abilities, right? We're seeing that in what was the previews. They're trying to do some artifact basis in this next coming Commander decks. Trying to do more spells. So who knows? That might just be like a one-off silver bullet for artifact or enchantment coming out. And at a certain point, you don't really mind if you give someone up to five life or something like that. That's not a big deal in the game.
So I think I might have just figured out what it might have been. I was looking around, and Talarian Community College featured that card on their Cheap Commander Cards You Never Knew You Needed video. Oh, yeah. And that video was published the same day that this spike had started. So that might be something.
Yeah.
The power of YouTube.
It did influence it. Yes,
Pepper. Yeah.
It did.
But if nobody has anything else on Illumination, let's move on to our number one card, up 4,100%, Chain of Smog. And this one, unlike the others, I do know why it's gone up so much. But what do you guys think of this first?
I have personally not heard of this card until this week, and it seems to be on everybody's tongue.
Yeah.
I'm right there with John. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I think the reason that this card has gone up so much is because of the recently spoiled Witherbloom Apprentice, which you can do. You can go infinite with Chain of Smog and Witherbloom Apprentice for just one in a black. So the combo is if you target yourself with a Chain of Smog, you may choose to copy it, unless you're trying to pull like Hellbent or something else. And you can keep copying it and targeting yourself unless you have the Witherbloom Apprentice, because every time you copy it, you'll gain one and your opponents will lose one. And you still don't have to pay for the copies, so you can do that infinite times for just one in a black.
Wow. So basically get them before it hits you that much.
Exactly.
Okay.
What was it going for like before? Like 15 cents? Because
4,100% is huge.
It's huge.
On March 22nd, it was at 50 cents. And then on March 23rd, it was $18.48.
Talk about hindsight, right?
Yeah, God. I'm waiting for that one person who had a collection of like 50 of these just hanging around. Like, this is my favorite card ever printed.
I just keep this for the flavor.
Yeah.
What set was it originally from, out of curiosity?
It was originally from Onslaught.
Okay, so I don't need to check my collection to see if I have one floating around. I was not around during Onslaught, so that means negative.
Mm. Now, Magic Legends. There's a lot of the advertisements all over Facebook and everything. I don't have to say it. I'm sure you guys see it. Slothy, you've been playing a lot of it lately.
I sure have.
Is it good?
Yeah, I'm really liking it. I'm a big Diablo fan, and this game kind of mixes Magic with Diablo, and I'm really liking it. You feel really, really powerful with what you choose to do. I'm playing a Mind Mage, and the spells are just awesome, and you feel really strong. You feel like a Planeswalker, and you get to meet some really interesting characters.
I can tell Slothy really likes, because I get like a text message on Facebook literally every other day. He's like, download it yet? Did you download it? And I'm like, nah, bro. So he's like, come on, we can play.
See, I'm someone who's played a lot of different MMOs in my day. And so I think one of the big questions when it comes to, you know, these online games, what is the like leveling like, and then into what is the content at the end of the game? Do you know what their plans are for it? What you guys are going to actually be doing, like going through dungeon type areas, going through bosses?
What I read with that is they're planning on just continually expanding it with different planes, different characters to meet. That's as far as I know for post-launch stuff.
I mean, it sounds awesome in the hole I have in my life before Diablo 4 comes out.
Yeah,
that's true. I think Magic does have has a built-in system of how to add more content, right? You finish one area, absolutely. There's always the next plane, right? Yeah. There's always the next place to go to.
Well, maybe you might...
Yeah, you can almost expand it infinitely, honestly, because there's so many, you know, ideas and planes that we haven't visited yet, you know what I mean? So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe a comic book might be up your alley.
Comic book?
Yeah. They've got a Magic the Gathering comic book coming back out by Boom Studios. Boom Comics?
Yes, it actually will be Boom.
That's definitely cool.
That comes out in April.
Yeah, this is one I've actually got to see a preview for it already and got to see the art in it. It was very well done. Boom recently is very big in that they relaunched the Power Rangers series in comics.
And so they got they're booming.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Oh man, got me on that one. But yeah, the Power Rangers has been like a pretty big hit in the comic world. It's been going now for quite a few issues. Like I said, what they did in the comics was, though it's inspired by the original series, they're going in a different direction. And that's the same thing they're doing with Magic, is that it's based on all of it. Its world will be like Otherworld style. So it's not going to be directly the canon of what is going on in the Magic world today.
To add on to that, I found an article that I was reading that I wouldn't mind sharing. So this was from Screen Rant. They released it back in January. But part of the article that really sticks out to me is, unlike previous attempts at adapting the card game, Magic Number One, which is the presumed name of the comic,
right? Yes.
Promises an ensemble cast. The new comic returns to the fan favorite plane of Ravnica, planet-sized city dominated by 10 guilds. When three guildmasters, Vraska, Kaya, and Rall Zerik, are threatened with assassination, they will have to travel to the game's most recent plane of Zendikar. This is outdated now because it did come out in January. To track down their would-be assassin. But the three planeswalkers will have to contend with the dangers of Zendikar and their own in fighting if they want to uncover the identity of their assassin and make it out of the plane alive.
Wow.
You got me excited. I'm like, we're going back to Zendikar again? Let's do it. You got me excited there for a second.
I'm excited to go back to Ravnica.
Dude, I just found out today that Zendikar they weren't reserve list cards. It was cards that were like from the reserve list that were inserted.
Yes, the priceless treasures.
Yeah, I just found out about that today, man.
Oh, I remember that. That was a big thing back in like 2008, I guess it was.
So looking up the prices today, they're like $800 for that.
Yeah.
But they're all, but now before anyone goes out and buys Zendikar, boxes, that is only the original print run, and it is near impossible to, even if you have the serial number of the box you're buying, to know if it is the original print run. Do not buy Zendikar Original Zendikar boxes, if you are looking for priceless treasures, you want to buy Zendikar Fat Packs. Those packs are all original printing, and they can contain priceless treasures. So, big disclaimer, please.
Wow. Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, I guess last thing before for the comic. Have you guys actually heard about what they're doing for the covers?
No, I haven't.
No, I saw a picture of Zal or Ral. Is it Ral?
Ral.
With another planeswalker of the same sex?
Yeah, so what they're going to be doing for part of it, so we got to see some of the covers for it. Basically, they're going to do a like lottery style for the covers themselves. Right now, they have the planeswalker covers. Mm-hmm. For the first issue, there's an art of Liliana, there's an art of Soren, and there's an art of Kaya, done by different artists. And when you do the order, your comic is going to come in like a sealed bag. So you're gonna you're not going to know what cover you get, right? So kind of in the idea of opening cards, seeing what you get, you're going to be able to open your comic and see which cover you got on that.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
I really enjoy that.
That's a very, very cool twist. Kind of like it's bringing in the booster experience into the comic book itself. That's very, very smart. Good marketing there.
Good idea. Yeah. So, Steven, we are working together as partners, and I'm so glad you come on the podcast this week. And maybe you can explain to everybody about our partnership and how it works and what you guys are doing and stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so I'm here kind of as a representative of Unstable Realm Gaming. So we started out as a Facebook group, have evolved and started doing more content online. We started actually doing content for the Cryptic Commander on their YouTube. If you check it out, you'll see it started off doing some Commander games. We did kind of like a mini modern video of going over Titan Shift and showing someone how to play it, one of the other members. So now we actually have our own YouTube, the Unstable Realm Gaming, where we are doing our own content on there as well. Some of our other games, such as our Commander games. We do like our own kind of pre-release mini tournament within the friend group, doing the content and even doing box openings with one of our other content creators, Aftone. So it's been evolving out, trying to get more content out there, being consistent with it, and honestly, having fun with it is probably the biggest part of it.
Fellow YouTuber, I can tell you, it's all about having fun with it.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're all content creators here.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have your own videos too, and I want to express to the listeners that I love the content you guys have as far as what variety you have, you know, and we're just appreciative of this partnership that you guys are able to, you know, provide content for our YouTube followers. There's another collaboration we came up with together that some of us from the Cryptic Commander are going to come over and maybe do a game or two once in a while.
Oh yeah. It'll be great to have any of you guys on there. Like I said, we're pretty open even with our games. We'll stream them. And if you guys are watching and want to join in, we'll switch in people. Even if we have more than a 4-person plot, we'll do things and play Kingdom is actually one of the popular things we'll do. And if you guys have never played it, it's kind of like the mix of, have you guys done like the Secret Werewolf or Mafia games?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kingdom is kind of a variant on that in the Magic world. Basically, we're going to have secret roles. So someone's going to be the king. Theirs is revealed. You have bandits trying to kill the king. You have a knight trying to protect the king, an assassin who's trying to kill the bandits and then kill the king and basically taking credit for that final knockout.
That sounds interesting.
So that's one where we can even add in other people. We can get beyond that. We get to 6 people. We add like an usurper trying to kill the king and take their place, right? They'll switch life totals.
I was going to say, I will warn you, Peddler only plays with lands.
Yes. My EDH deck is 99 lands and 1/5 color creature.
Huh.
Yeah, I call it Land Go.
Yeah,
you know, I usually have the reputation for being the lands guy in our play group, so it would be interesting to have some other person bringing that competition in. Then,
I mean, I don't know if you know me as a creator, but my goal in life is to collect one of each basic land ever printed. That is what I'm doing with my life over here.
Basic
lands.
So, question: are you like doing anything with those lands? Are you making like a big like wall art, like getting them across? Like,
yeah, it's with floorboards.
It's gonna be my retirement plan. I'm gonna sit on them for 30 years and just sell out.
He told me he was gonna decorate that tank he just bought with the STEMI money.
Yeah, gotta decorate the tanks.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, I'm just gonna slice up Summer Magic Lands and like have them like be like this beautiful origami. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I can imagine just some things of like one of my favorite arts is the Kamigawa lands.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very, very nice.
Yeah, the panorama lands. I just imagine like some madman who has been able to like mimic that art with other lands just on like a big portrait or something, right?
I probably could. I think my collection right now is getting upwards of 2,000 of the probably 4,000 ever made. So I'm getting up there. I'm sure I have art that I can stitch together.
There's more for you to collect with the new Strixhaven set coming out.
Definitely.
They've got new mechanics as well. Peddler, do you think... Oh, I'm going to go over this, actually. Okay.
Yeah, man, you started off. I got plenty of Strixhaven information in front of me, too, so I'll chime in with you, too.
Okay, so we've got Learn. Learn is... you've got what it is, but I do want to put a side note here. In Commander, it's not going to work because there's no wish effect, and so you can use that... What is it? Looter ability?
Yeah, it's looting, basically. Yeah. Just draw a card and discard a card.
Right. What information do you have on Learn?
It seems pretty interesting to me. I mean, let me get my... Hold on a second.
Because I have something here on Ward. W-A-R-D. That's the new Evergreen mechanic they got coming out. Ward is when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, they can pay X or it's countered. Theoretically, they've got room in the space here. You know, later on, they can do stuff like, you know, pay black mana or pay two life, you know, or something, something along these lines.
I actually think it's fun to see that they have it as a real keyword now. Right. Yeah. I think we used to see the other creatures of just you could not target it unless you played two extra or something. Now it's just a way to kind of simplify it.
Like
milk. Yeah, it definitely streamlines it. And the fact that it's evergreen, that means that we're going to be expecting to see this, you know, in future sets. It's not going to be like a one-off or it's going to be rare. You know, it's going to be in future sets. Creatures are going to have ward on it, which is cool.
Yeah.
All right. Now, diving into Learn, because I wanted to make sure I had a Learn card in front of me just to kind of, so I get the verbiage perfect. So Learn is you reveal a lesson card you own from outside the game and put it into your hand, or you can discard a card to draw a card. And just like John was saying, in Commander, you will not be able to search up a card outside the game because you have no sideboard, but you will be able to use the loot ability. And for me, as a limited player, that sounds strong. That sounds real strong. I like it. I like it a lot. What do you guys think?
I'm excited for my pre-release games that we're going to do. I'm definitely hoping I get as many as those as possible.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of the lesson spells that you can, you know, fetch with these things. I'm very curious to see if they're going to have rare ones. You know what I mean? Or are they have mythic ones? It's going to be interesting to see.
I like them all flavor wise. You know.
Yeah, I love the idea of the colorless spells being the basic learning everyone has to go through. They're your GED classes. They're your very first things you got to do, your general ed.
It's definitely really, really good flavor to a college. Because it's like, you have to think, like, you know, the different schools have their color pairings, but color artifact or color spells are everywhere. So it's like it's your 101 class. You learn how to cast a soul ring. There you go.
Have you guys seen the Snarl lands? In my opinion, it's almost like closing off an old set they started with, like Choked Estuary. Do you think they'll go back and rename those Snarls, or am I thinking wrong here?
No, they won't go back and rename them.
No, they won't.
But I am right, though, that this is like the end of that cycle, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And for those who don't know the Snarlands, so if you haven't seen the previews yet, each college of Strixhaven is getting its colors on a rare land cycle. And these lands enter the battlefield tap unless you reveal a basic land of the two colors from your hand. So if you're using the Simic one, which is the Vine Glimmer Snarl, you have to reveal either a forest or an island, or this land comes into tap, and it taps for green and blue. Pretty cool.
Give me a couple of these, too. I was going to say, they know how to hit my wallet, man.
Absolutely. But it's, I always say it's a very good barometer of a set strength when you look at the rare land cycle. That's where you want to look at. And this is a good rare land cycle, I think. It's definitely better than temples.
No, definitely.
Like, this is, I like them. I like them. I think it's going to bode well for the remainder of the set to be spoiled out, that this is our rare land cycle we're dealing with this time around. I think it's very good.
I think there's going to be good for Commander. And I also think if you're building a cube on a budget, these are some cards to look into.
Oh, yeah. I think having more lands that kind of fill out those colors is always the best, right? Like I said, not everyone's getting those old fancy dual lands.
Yeah, no.
It's definitely easier on the budget if you need a couple of these in a deck, as opposed to I need my plateau and my volcanic island.
Or you could be like me, let's go get some of these treasures.
Yeah.
Speaking of treasures,
get a fat back.
Speaking of treasures, we've got our first ever modal double faced card that is a planeswalker.
Yes, very interesting. It's the Ronan and Will is going to be a dual modal faced flip card thing. However they describe it, it's going to be one of those. I forget the actual
terminology. The first modal double faced card that is a planeswalker.
There we go. And it's actually one of four planeswalkers that they revealed. Mm-hmm. So not only before, like, I'm going to touch on them real fast. We have Ronan and Will, and then we have Kasmina, Luca, and Liliana, who's disguised as Professor Onyx. So that was interesting.
Yeah, she's disguised. Looks kind of like Tobalt was, right?
I mean, she did trick me.
I'm surprised that Luca's back in this one. That one kind of threw me off guard when I heard that on the WotC YouTube premiere of this. I was like, Luca, really? That's interesting.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Definitely on that one.
I think they couldn't have chosen a perfect pair for the being the modal double face, them being the partners all the time anyways.
Yeah. That definitely makes sense.
I see it as a design space that we're going to actually see more of. When you look at the back of a Magic card and you see the bland over the 40 years, how long has it been? Where it just
Magic almost 30. Almost 30.
Yeah, Magic Gathering years. On it with the blue lettering and, you know, the five colors on there, you know, it's brown background. The same thing over and over and over, but yet if you utilize that space, like all the flip cards they've been doing throughout the years, to me, it's a no-brainer here, you know? They've been doing stuff with Kaldheim more and more with the flip cards, and but now, I mean, like Zendikar Rising, the modal lands. More and more modal cards got me thinking, this design space needs to be utilized more.
I think they're going to touch on it from here on out. I don't think it's going to be a constant in the game. I believe it. Like it, we don't do blocks, you know, anymore. But I feel like this is kind of like a block technique where they're going to put all these together and then they'll kind of shelve it for a while. Is my guess. Yeah.
I could see that because there is something of what is like part of what makes Magic different than a lot of other card games, right? Is the idea of having to balance out your mana base in a deck, right? And having those limited choices in your cards. So the modal double face. For the lands are fantastic cards. I love them. I got like copies and copies of a bunch of them as they came out because I want to throw them EDH decks everything I can. But I mean, that does change the game of what happens when you don't have to try as hard to fit in space for your cards with your lands, right? It's something that it's going to be a constant battle in Magic, and I think it's going to remain that way for the most part.
I agree.
And before we get too far away from the mechanics too, we did not touch on Magecraft at all, by the way.
Oh,
we didn't.
We didn't. We kind of just jump, skipped, and danced right past that.
Well, it's funny we mentioned the... Oh, do you want to go over that first? Yeah.
Just go ahead and go over it, yeah.
Yeah, so Magecraft is an ability word that highlights triggered abilities that gives you some sort of benefit when you either cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell. So, like, the card I have in front of me that has this ability is the Eager First Year. It's generic and a white common human wizard. It has it's a 2/2 body and it has Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, Eager First Year gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So it seems like they're going to be going really big, you know, on instants and sorceries and copy abilities too. Because in the actual Wizards article, it has cast and then it's like two lines or copy two lines and instant. So I think there's going to be a lot of copy effects in this set.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like an interesting mechanic in itself. especially like, you know, this is actually on a white card, which is kind of interesting because when you think of like, you know, casting multiple spells per turn, you think of red blue generally, at least I do.
Yeah, that was what originally confused me when I saw it on Professor Onyx, right? Yes. Where I was like, oh, what's, it's like, oh, well, they're going to have to play it with red. What's going to be in black that has you copy spells? You know, who would have known there's a card from Onslaught that lets you just kind of keep going at it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not wrong.
I want to do a Magic the Gathering Arena updates. We have until April 2nd, Quick Draft Kaldheim still going on. Historic Shakeup until April 2nd before the new Historic Shakeup. Did you see what I did there? Did you see what I did there? Premier Draft Core Sets. I'm excited for this one, by the way. Until April 2nd. I think it started yesterday. Round one is 1 year core set, then the next pack is the next year core set, and then the last one is this year's core set, if I believe so. And then Festival Historic Brawl until April 1st. Now, this just in, we do have Magic the Gathering Arena Cube is back, and that will be April 2nd to the 14th with two options available, best of one and best of three. I'm a big Cube fan, so that's exciting news to me. Mystical Archive is coming to Magic the Gathering Arena. This is going to be some hot topic here, too, guys.
There's so many good cards on this Mystical Archive.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Before we get to these good cards, I do want to remind people, if they don't know or if they already know, that seven of these cards are going to be banned in the historic format. Those cards will be Channel, Counterspell, Dark Ritual, Swords to Plowshare, Demonic Tutor, and Lightning Bolt. What are your guys' thoughts and opinions on this?
On the Mystical Archive or the bannings in general?
I think Mystical Archive with how it's going to shake up Historic.
I mean, these are strong spells. Yep. All of them are. All 63 of them are just fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just going to spit out a few as I'm scrolling. Day of Judgment. Gift of Estates. God's Willing.
Inquisition of Kozilek.
Approach of the Second Sun.
Blue Sun Zenith. Teferi's Protection. Brainstorm.
Brainstorm.
Opt. Great card. Time Warp. Great card. Yeah, Dark Ritual. We already said that, but still, it's a great card. Demonic Tutor. Doomblade. I'm only in the D's, guy. I'm going to go down a little bit. Just my God, Cultivate. There's just so much good in this. Lightning Bolt, Duress. I am so excited for these cards.
You know, it's kind of funny.
Lightning Helix. Sorry. Lightning Helix.
Oh, man. See, I'm always a big fan of Lightning Helix. And when you're mentioning the bans role, you know, there's the bans of Lightning Bolt, Swords of Plowshares. Those cards, those are ones that always stick in my mind of kind of how, I don't know, desensitized to powerful, how powerful they are just from how long they've been around. Historic, right? Historic being this new setting and new environment for these cards where, you know, when they released in originally in Standard, you know, they've been around so long. It's been a feature of the game, right? Historic kind of gets to reverse that a bit of like, maybe we don't need a one drop that can remove anything, right? At instant speed. Maybe we don't need something that can hit someone in the face immediately.
I don't know about you guys, but I am really looking forward to getting a full play set of those Faithless Lootings.
I'm so glad you said that, Slothy, because you know what? I think I had everyone's initial reaction to that card where I laughed for probably about 45 minutes straight when I first saw that thing. It is the most ridiculous card and probably one of the worst arts I've ever seen. Not just in Magic, I'm talking like art in general. It's like one of the
just Monty Python.
That's this card you sent me, right? I got to look.
But as my big boy brain calmed down and took over, I'm like, you know what? This ridiculous card is actually incredibly good for the longevity and success of Magic. Now, hear me out on this, okay? Just because Wizards has been kind of dipping their toes in expanding the art that we consider Magic. Like, go back to Theros Beyond Death. Look at the Nyx lands. They got a lot of flack, but I think they're gorgeous. And then you can go into Ikoria and they had that kind of cell type animation, kind of like how you use like in Borderlands. I call them the Borderlands art because it looks so much like Borderlands. So and like the Party Hard, Shred Harder, Secret Lair, like they're definitely redefining what magic art is, and all that's going to do is open up creative space for the artists to get more and more creative. Now they're not all going to be winners, clearly. Looting, prefer pointing that out, but as a general rule, it's going to be a very, very positive thing for the game to give artists a more creative scope that they can work in. I think it's a very good card for that reason. I don't like the art at all, but I think that idea of, you know, let's expand, like it doesn't always have to be like the same generic form of art. I think it's a good thing, honestly.
I do agree with you on that. It does expand the horizon and makes a lot of sense in trying to bring different audiences in, different art styles in. But good Christ, is it ugly.
Oh, it's awful. I could talk probably 20 minutes about how ugly this card is. And like how I described it to my buddy when I was talking to about him like off, like, you know, off camera and everything, I said, it looked like a 4-year-old without thumbs made it, is how I described it. And I think that's pretty on point.
I would agree.
But you know, this is, I'm curious to see where the price is going to go after it releases for that card. Because I'm someone who now, because of all these jokes about it, have been like, I'm totally getting that Faithless Looting.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now, I'm putting that in everything I can. Right?
It is at rare. So, you know, it's not like it's one of the uncommon ones. It is a rare.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get that thing in etched foil.
Oh, man. That's my dream right there. It's like when everyone had fun with the Karn art, right? The Double Masters Karn.
Well,
I mean, there's always been some ridiculous form of art. You know what I mean? I mean, I had a problem with Tybalt's art. Like, that to me looked ridiculous. The one where he's like, it looks like he's like he just realized he forgot something. Like, he left his stove on and he went out.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God, I left the stove on. Like, shit. I was laughing at that car for so long. I'm like, it's so ridiculous looking, but I got used to it the more I saw it, and I'm like, that's not that bad.
What's funny is you guys are sitting here talking about it. I'm reading the flavor text here, and it reads, how did you get your hands on that? Wait, never mind, I don't want to know.
That was actually Wizards R&D talking to their art development thing. It was actually an internal memo.
Yeah, they confused it, put it on the card anyways. Whoops.
See, as you're mentioning earlier, it is at $10 right now on Card Kingdom.
Hey, man, I'm going to watch that like the stocks, man.
Perfect. Just buy them out and hold on
to
them
until somebody likes them. I think people are going to buy it out. I think people are going to buy it just for the lols because it's so funny.
I absolutely agree with you.
Also, just on a side note, the Harmonize is done by the same artist. Now, I would say it's equally terrible.
Oh, wow.
See, I like Harmonize a bit more, personally. Harmonize does look like it's not a sixth grader's Photoshop.
Correct. But
it's still not a good art.
It's not good, but it's much better.
Yeah. Well, hard to be much worse, to be honest.
Speaking of side note, I've got more updates here, but on dates and stuff. But Elder Dragons are back. Is that from this new set here, or Elder Dragons are back? Did you guys know Elder Dragons are back?
Yeah, so that was what I think on one of the spoilers. It is actually from Strixhaven, correct? Because that's where we got the Silver Quill. We got an Orzhov dragon.
Yeah, so it's got to be the new set.
Yeah, because in the video that Watsy put out, they said that each school was founded by a dragon. So I'm expecting there to be all five in there.
Okay, and going along with the updates here, April 15th, I guess we'll know soon, Strixhaven School of Mages releases on Magic the Gathering Arena and Magic the Gathering Online. Wow, both of them the same day. April 16th through 22nd, pre-release week, and April 23rd, Strixhaven School of Mages and Commander 2021 tabletop release. Slotha, you got more info on this, right?
On the Strixhaven release?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just got the
Commander 2021.
They previewed the Commander cards, and some of them I'm really excited for. So you got the Boros. Sorry, it's not Boros. I just haven't really memorized the names of the schools yet. But the Red-White Commander, Ozgir the Reconstructor, a 4/4 legendary creature, giant artificer with vigilance. He's got tap one generic and sacrifice an artifact. Target creature you control gets +2/+0 until end of turn. And then he's got tap X and then tap Ozgir. Exile an artifact card with mana value X from your graveyard. Create two tokens that are copies of the exiled card. Activate this only as a sorcery. So that's the first one. I personally really like this guy. I think he'll be fun. And what do you guys think?
Sounds strong to me. I like it.
It's one I think we touched on briefly before, right? Giving Boros an ability it didn't really have before.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of a new way. Artifacts and in red have always had some stuff of playing with your graveyard, right? We've seen from like trash treasure and all that. This is a way, like, you know, just taking that next step. Even white having a lot of stuff that plays with the graveyard anyways.
And and it's definitely been like building up, because you had Akiri and then you had Wyleth and they got this. They're really going really hard for that artifact synergies.
And Steven, you beat me to it. Exactly. Words taken out of my mouth.
All right. But we're going to move on here to the next one. This is the Golgari colored one. For one generic of black and a green, you get Willow Dusk Essence Seer, a 3/3 legendary creature, Dryad Druid. With tap one generic and tap it to choose another target creature, put a number of 1/1 counters on it equal to the amount of life you've gained this turn or the amount of life you've lost this turn, whichever is greater. Activate only as a sorcery. This one is interesting. What do you guys think of this?
I'd like to see some more spoilers go on, see how I can get around with it. Yeah.
The only thing I can really say is I do like the flavor of it being the green black of it just cares about life going up and down. It doesn't matter which direction. doesn't care what way.
Definitely hitting that check mark for green and black right there.
But next up, we've got the Orzhov Commander. For one, a white and a black, you'll get Breena the Demigouge. A legendary creature, bird warlock, 1/3 with flying. And whenever a player attacks one or more of your opponents, just one of your opponents, if that opponent has more life than another of your opponents, that attacking player draws a card. And you put +1/+1 counters on a creature you control.
I like it.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Being a non-commander player, I hear if other player attacks other player, I'm like, what?
It's like these words do not compute.
Is that Simic? Like, what? Yeah. Any chance? Is that Simic? Well,
he said black, white, Orzo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this one definitely would play. It plays in the idea of commander being the like political format also as well, right? You got to try to like, don't attack me, attack him. You'll get cards out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe try to make him a bit more difficult for them to attack you, like maybe put a ghostly prison or something like that. So it kind of de-incentivizes them attacking you anyway. So you'll just get a whole bunch of counters at the cost of one card, which in these colors, there can be quite a bit of discard as well for your opponents.
Mm.
But we're going to move on here. Next up is the Simic Commander for two, a green and a blue, a 2/2 Merfolk Wizard. Adrix and Nev Twin Casters. It's got Ward 2. So that's the new mechanic where if a spell or ability an opponent controls would target Adrix and Nev, counter it unless that player pays 2 in this case. And it's got if one or more tokens would be created under your control, twice that many tokens are created instead. That makes me happy.
Ban. Yeah, that's... Ban. Ban.
You shut your mouth.
Ban.
It's the joke that Simic gets all the like super basic and strong cards. Yeah. Right. But this is something where it is just a powerful effect. Doubling tokens is always good. But I also don't think it's like ban worthy.
No,
right? It's not ban worthy at all.
We see like parallel lives all the time and everything. And we've all seen the people have it to where they have their token doublers and nothing to make tokens. Right? Am I going to buy this commander? Probably. Like, am I going to get it and just throw it in every deck I can? Probably. But
see, this.
It's funny that you say that there's the joke associated with the Simic getting all the power stuff. Because you know what? The base of any good joke is always the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to move on to the last one. And this one is a topic of conversation right now as well. This is Zafi Thunder Conductor for two, a blue and a red. It's an Izzet Commander, 1/4 Human Shaman with Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, scry one. If that spell's mana value is 5 or greater, create a 4/4 blue and red elemental creature token. If that spell's mana value is 10 or greater, Zafi Thunder Collector deals 10 damage to an opponent chosen at random. Wait a minute. she a conductor or is she a collector?
She's a collector of conductors.
That's a good question. It's not the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
So that by rule definition, that card, that final ability is not playable.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Because you have a Thunder Conductor, not a Thunder Collector. So it's correct. Technically not something to deal damage.
It's a not playable. But I think they have to change the ruling on that or something. Oh,
you
like
mean
that.
Like pay three and put it in your hand?
No, because it's the card is called the conductor. That joke just flew right over my head.
Yeah, the thing is I teach Magic to people all the time, you know, and people that are beginning and stuff, and they come to me with the most basic, simple questions, and I was raised that no question's silly, you know.
Yeah,
just the question that's not asked is silly. So everybody that brings a question to me, I'm happy to answer and help out the best way that I can. And when it comes to something like this, it's like, well, technically, you can't do anything with that bottom part because you don't have anything like you said earlier with that card in your deck named Collector, you know?
Yeah.
So for them to go, oh, we'll just fix it and errata it. You guys know what we meant, right? You know, it's like, well, not all beginning players are going to know this. You know, are you thinking about the beginning players as well when you make this product? Because I know that's what you're targeting.
At the end of the day, mistakes are made as well, and they probably will fix it. Mm-hmm. But I can still see how it is possibly confusing to newer players. It's a
mythic rare.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mythic rare.
All I heard was John's parents were a lot nicer than my parents. His parents were like, there's no silly questions. It's only the question that's unanswered and unasked is silly. My parents are like, 95% of the questions you're going to hear are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, working in fast food, I've definitely noticed that.
Hey, man, right. Retail for a few years, I think I've got to see it all.
Oh, retail sucks.
All right. On last week's Beginner's Corner, we had a game, and I thought it would be real fun to do this again. And I got something set up for you guys here. Do you guys want to play a game?
Sure.
Play a game? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it there, Jigsaw.
Let me pull this up real quick for you guys. The way I'm thinking about doing this is, I think personally the questions are going to get harder as we go. So I think for the first set of questions, I'll give you guys a point for everyone you get right. And it's going to be categorized. So here, one second.
And if last week is any threshold of how this is going to go, I will be dead last.
Hey, you know, I might be your competition in that.
Do not underestimate my ability to suck, sir.
Hey yo.
Oh.
Oh.
Man.
I'll put ST and then SL. Okay. Cool. I will keep track because
good. I don't want to.
Heather cheats.
No, he doesn't cheat. He classified you as the winner last week.
He just thinks we're playing golf.
Yeah.
Score wins.
Yeah.
He's cheating, but he's not very bright about it.
Okay. Yeah.
So this one, you guys are going to get 1 point apiece for. And the question, until I say go, don't go yet, okay? Because the question is, what is the most, now, as the release of Kaldheim, okay? So at the release, basically with Kaldheim and everything before, okay? Mm-hmm. How many Magic the Gathering cards do you think total there are?
A lot.
Like ever printed or individual Magic
different,
cards?
Yeah, individual Magic the Gathering cards.
Is this Price is Right rules? Like we go over the number, we lose?
This will be, yeah, I will tell you what. We'll do Price is Right on this one. And anybody who gets it right gets a point. Yeah.
Sir.
32,000. My guess is 32,000.
So Peddler says 32,000. Okay.
I said 18.
And Slothy says 18.
I'm going to split. I'm going to go with, you know, I'm not going to do the actual Price is Right thing, go up by one or something like that. I'm going to go with the 22,000.
22,000. All right, so we're going to have to go with closest without going over, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the closest without going over would be Slothy, because the answer is 21,000.
Oh, 265.
Why did I bring up Price is Right rules?
I feel bad for the poor guy who had to count them all.
No joke. I'm over here cheating with my calculator. I'm like, all right, there's been 87 expansions times about 300 cards per expansion. And I was like, oh, wait, Corset Stew, hold on. And that's how I got my 32, and it didn't work at all.
Yeah, I told Sluffy. You, Peddler cheats.
Sluffy gets a point. And just an added bonus, there's 4,265 white, 4,192 blue, 4,252 black, 4,222 red, 4,194 green, 2,904 colorless, and 2,272 multicolored.
Hey, I didn't hear basic lands in there.
No, I've got those covered down here. We've got artifacts, creatures, enchantments, instant sorceries, and all right. So we're going to go to the next question. The next question is worth 2 points.
Ooh.
All right. Can anyone? This is going to be a free for all. The first person answers it correctly. Okay. You only get one chance. You only get one guess, though. One guess. Okay. Worth 2 points. The most cards in a set. What's the set name?
Mystery Boosters. Mm.
Oh, Slothy, was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Wasn't it like 1,400 or something?
Oh, 1,936. That's insane. 1,936.
Yeah.
All right, so Slothy, that's actually worth 2 points for you, buddy.
Oh, man. All right. He's on fire.
All right.
Hate this game.
All right. The most cards in a core set.
Beta.
No.
2015.
No.
So I guess to clarify, you know, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna go 2011.
No. All right, guys. That was fifth edition.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm close without going over. Yeah. All right.
I didn't even think about the oldest.
All right. What's the most used keyword?
Mm-hmm. Flying.
It is flying.
Yes!
Peddler. You got 2 points for Peddler. Well, okay. Let's see here. All right. I can't believe I'm doing this.
I can't believe I got one right.
Okay. This is worth 3 points apiece, okay? The most reprints of a card as of Commander Legends and anything before.
Counterspell.
Okay, that is on the list.
Yes!
But hold on. They've got a chance to take it away from you. Mm. There's two cards above it, okay? Because Counterspell, because
I'm on the board, growth. Though.
I can give them a hint. I can give them a hint. Okay, I can give them a hint. It's 41. And Slothy, I think you said, what, Giant Growth?
Yep.
That's also on the list.
Ah!
46 copies. And I will have to say, sadly, Steven, you will not have a chance to steal it because Giant Growth is number one.
Man, I had my green spirit calling to me, too.
I'm curious, though. What would your guess have been? I want to see if you can get the number two one. What would your guess have been?
See, I was thinking of elves, right? So I went with Elvish Mystic. I don't even think that might be close on there.
No, Land of War Elves was on there, though.
Oh, Land of, I should have done the other elf.
Is Dark Ritual on there?
It is. Dark Ritual is right below Atlanta War Elves.
Huh.
All right. Now.
Well, what was number two?
Oh, number two is Sarah Angel with 43 copies.
Mm, makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this was the one I was going to wait for here. This one's going to be worth 4 points. And I'm glad I did it now instead of earlier. The rarest card. Now, I'm going to tell you there's two of them. The rarest card. So you got two different names you can give me. I just need one name. the rarest card.
I got it. I'm going to give you guys a minute because I got it. At least I think I do.
Say it. It's worth 4 points.
Arabian Nights Mountain. Arabian Nights Mountain.
You're wrong.
Darn it.
I feel like it's going to be something like weird.
Beta.
Oh my god! I think
Volcanic
I know.
Volcanic Island.
Nope. And Steven,
the Blue Hurricane. The Blue Hurricane.
No, it's not the rarest card. There's two different cards that tie for this first place. So
there's like six of them in existence.
Steven.
Yeah.
It's worth 4 points.
Man, I'm like trying to go through my brain of what it could be, because I don't think it's any of the normal, like, ancestral recall or anything like that.
I need a judge ruling. Judge.
Yeah, I'd only be going for those high ones. I can't think of anything that would be the like weird obscure. You're past my realm of knowledge on this one.
Do you want to pass?
I think I pass.
Okay. The Shikufukujin Dragon and the 1996 World Champion with only one copy of each in existence.
Yes. Man.
Yeah.
How many of that dragon are in existence?
Only one. It says only one of copy of each in existence.
I should have thought that the champion is one I should have thought of.
Yeah,
I knew that's the one I heard of before.
Yep, I knew about the 1996 world champion, by the way.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I'm like, how is Blue Hurricane not the answer? There's like seven of those that exist. That would make sense.
Okay,
I'm going back to like Summer Magic. I'm like, wait a second, I got you.
This is like I said,
something weird.
I believe this is getting harder, in my opinion. So.
Oh, I hope we get a land question. I feel like it's like the one thing I can excel at.
Okay, these are worth 5 points here, okay? The highest converted mana cost.
Emrakul.
No.
15.
No.
Oh, my God.
Draco?
I know it. Draco. I know it. I know it.
Sloppy, wasn't it? It was sloppy, wasn't it?
Man, I should have. I have a friend who has it for their Yuriko.
What was the answer? I think the only reason that I got that is because I Draco. Have the, from the Vault Dragon no. in front of
stop.
Me.
Stop. Hold on. I need to pause the game.
Yeah.
That is not the most highest mana cost in the game of Magic.
What is it?
Gleamax. Google Gleamax right now, somebody, and tell me what the casting cost of it is. I got it. This...
1 million.
That's not a real card.
Yes, it is.
It's from Unhinged.
It is a real card. Gleamax.
No.
If you're playing Unhinged, you're playing Magic the Gathering.
Okay, I'll give it to these guys. You guys want to give it to Peddler for 5 points?
But that is correct.
He is in second place. You want to give it to him? We'll give it to him.
Sure.
All right, so that was worth 5 points. One, two,
three. I want to cheat my way into this win.
Remember, I did this for you, Peddler.
In theory, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But in theory, it is a magic card.
Taking that away from Sloppy. All right. Okay. And the highest casting equipment.
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh. Gleamax. No, I'm kidding. Highest casting equipment. Ooh. I have no guess. I do not know.
What is... I wonder what has gone beyond, right? Like the normal like six, right? It's like, what is that? That's I can think of some at that amount, but there has to be something beyond that.
You guys are almost about to give up here on this one.
I've already thrown in the towel. I have no idea.
Elpris, yeah. The Binding Blade.
Oh, man.
I don't even know that card.
Yeah.
Is that one at seven?
Yeah, it's seven.
Legendary, I can't believe it.
Legendary artifact creature. Yeah. Here, let me pull it back up here.
That's the flip with the demon, right?
Yep, it flips with the demon when you was it deal combat damage?
Equip creature. Oh, hold on. Equip creature gets +1/+0 when it deals combat damage to a player. Unattach it, then transform it.
I'm disappointed in myself. I have a D&D game that takes place in Innistrad, and they literally got that weapon and unleashed the demon. And I still couldn't remember that was the highest converted mana cost.
I was in the same boat. I ran that in my Ravnica game.
Oh, perfect.
All right.
Oh, man. My brain is fried from digging out Gleamax out of that. It was like some deep, dark fold in my brain. I don't even know where that came from.
This question is worth 6 points. What is the lowest converted mana cost? I'm sorry. What is the lowest toughness on a creature?
0.
No.
Isn't it star plus one?
No.
I hear Googling going on in the background.
Mm-hmm. I am now because I've already guessed.
Like, hold on, I hear Googling.
Worth.
At least when I give my jank answers, they're from the heart. They're not from Google.
No guess from Steven.
No, I mean, if we're just guessing the lowest number, right? I'm gonna go with -1. Right, I have no clue who would it be.
It is -1. I will say that you have a chance to get 6 more bonus points if you give me a name in 3 seconds.
I have no clue where that could have come from.
Spinal Parasite. Fifth Dawn.
Now I just want to buy that card.
Oh, you need to read that card off to me. I need to know how it has -1 toughness.
-1.
It costs 5, colorless. Sunburst. It comes into play with a 1/1 counter for each color of mana used to pay its cost. Remove 2 1/1 counters from it. Remove a counter from target permanent.
It is a -1/-1.
Yeah.
All right, so that's 6 points for Steven. Steven, you are in the game.
What are the scores right now?
Right now, currently, Peddler is at 7.
What?
Steven is at 6. And Slothy is at 6. Now, these are going to be worth 7 points. You'll get an additional 7 point if you can tell me what set it came from. Okay? The question is this. A set named after a card.
A set named after a card?
Okay, hold on.
I can give you one example. Apocalypse. From the card Apocalypse that appeared in Tempest.
Time Spiral from Urza's...
Go ahead.
Legacy.
You're wrong, but it is Time Spiral. You get 7 points.
Nice.
From Urza's Saga.
Saga.
Hold on 1 second. That's 7 points. Okay. And
is there a couple of these?
Yeah, there's quite a few. Sloth, you got to sit down for a second. And Peddler and Steven, you still have a chance here.
Okay, hold on. I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. You're running out of time, guys.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. I think I got another one. Okay, so that was, hold on, Sloth. No, Peddler, you said Prophecy, right?
Yes.
What set did it come from?
Fifth Dawn. I don't know.
You're wrong. Homelands, but you do get 7 points.
I'm gonna take my guess.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is that actually one from
running out of time here.
What is it? What could it be? What could it be?
All right, so
if I can think of
you're out of time, but conspiracy,
so close.
Mercedian masks, either one of them.
Now, see, I knew there was the little symbol. There was the little symbol. I can remember the little mask.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Mercedian. Yeah.
Mercadian masks.
So, if you get 7 points, though, you do get 7 points.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Still in it a little bit.
All right, guys, we're getting toward the end here. So that means the last one's worth 8 points doubled. So it's 16 points, okay? The last one's 16 points.
Oh, it's a 1-point game anyway. We're within 1 point. So it's like, this is it.
All right. So anybody can still take this game here. All right.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take it back a step here. I need a set named after a card, and you get an additional 16 points if you can give me the set name it was from.
Is this the same question?
Same question. Same.
Conflux from...
Nope. Already taken.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a...
Weatherlight with the card from Dominaria.
1 second. Weatherlight, but it came from Weatherlight and or Dominaria, so you get 16, you get 32 points.
Oh!
All right, it's pressure now, Peddler and Slothy.
Mm. I'm working on it. Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, hold on. Okay.
That was already said, I think.
Was it? Like, I thought that was an example one.
It was the example one.
Oh, damn.
It's a card named after the set?
A card named after a set.
So, the Antiquities War? Dominaria.
Stronghold.
All right, 1 second. Let me look. Nope, timer's going back on.
Tempest?
Tempest. Hold on 1 second. Nope.
Hour of Devastation?
Okay, Hour of Devastation. What set did it come from?
Hour of Devastation.
You got it. Okay, now Peddler.
Oh, I already guessed, too. I don't think I get another guess. I don't think that's fair. You do it?
So we got a few seconds here.
All right, hold on. Odyssey.
Okay. Nope.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in a towel.
All right. Let's go to the final score here. We got Peddler with 18 points.
I'll take it.
Steven, our guest, 32, 7, and 6. That's...
Oh, they're tied, aren't they? Oh, no. Hold on. No, Slothy got both.
Hold on. Oh, it's a tie. It is a tie. So we got to go to it. We got to, yeah, it's a tie. I'm looking at the score here. It's a tie. So we got to go to a tiebreaker. Let's just go to a real hard one here.
Sure. I was hoping if it was tied, it was going to be a backup one of these, because the only one I still had in mind was Hour of Devastation.
I said that one.
That was my one I had in the bag. I'll take it.
We mentioned earlier, at the release of Kaldheim and everything before, that all cards total were 21,265. Mm-hmm. So many in white, so many in blue, so many in black, so many in red, so many in green, so many in colorless, and so many in multicolored. But what we didn't cover was how many creatures. The closest, without going over, is our winner.
How many creatures in the history?
Up until Kaldheim.
Up until Kaldheim. Ooh.
So should, how do we want to say who's going to guess first?
I can flip a coin here. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say...
I feel like this is part of the game strategy, right? Rules. We got to see who's... Yeah, someone goes wild with it.
Yeah, or we can do bet like they do Double Jeopardy too, right, Peddler?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to flip a coin. I'll say that...
The great thing is I actually just thought of one, too. Like one of the cards that probably has a set. It's probably Torment.
All right, I've got the question already laid out here. Okay, so I'm going to flip a coin. Heads is a guess. Tails is Slothy. Is this fair?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to flip it. We're going to do it street style, so it will hit the floor here. Hold on. It is heads. So that means it's our guest goes first.
All right. Then I'm going to guess. So without going over, I'm going to go... I'm going to go 13,000.
Okay, 13,000. Sloffy?
I'm going to go 11,000.
I want to throw in a guess too, just to be part of this.
Okay, Sloffy is, you said what, 11,000?
Yep.
I went 9,674.
9,674.
So did you go? Did you math out one third?
No, not one third. It's actually like I forget the exact calculation I did, but that's my calculation.
Okay,
I picked $1. Okay, and the survey says 11,461.
Oh, jeez,
Sloffy, this is the second week in a row. Congratulations!
Oh man, Sloffy is like the king of this game.
Down to the wire on that.
That was very close.
At least this week I was in it.
Next week,
yeah.
I participated this week.
Yeah. Next week we put a webcam on Sloppy.
yeah.
No, not on Sloppy. I want to see his hands. I want to see what he's typing in on his keyboard. Like a security cam.
Yeah.
See if he's start buzzing. Oh, yeah, starts buzzing when he clicks it.
Out of you just gotta come to my house. What was Torment? One of the cards that is a card that's also set?
I think so. Let me go back and check.
Of course it is.
You know what? That's actually good. I can go ahead and just tell everybody. So hold on. They are, and let me see if Torment was. I don't see. Yeah, it is. Torment from Torment or Stronghold. So it was Apocalypse, which is Apocalypse, Tempest, Cold Snap, Ice Age, Conflux, which makes no sense. I guess there was one. Oh, yeah, I guess Conflux from Conflux. Conspiracy from Mercedian Masks, Future Sight, Onslaught, Hour of Devastation, Mirrored and Besieged, Modern Horizons, Morning Tide, Torment, Onslaught, Exodus, Planar Chaos, Judgment, Prophecy, Homelands, Time Spiral, Urza Saga, Visions, Legends, Torment, Stronghold, Weatherlight, Dominaria.
Yeah. Very interesting. I like that. It was like more of like a trivia type thing, not like, you know, the slang and stuff like that. I don't know what the kids say nowadays.
I don't know. I mean, I thought the slang was kind of hard too myself when I did it last year on International Women's Day with my wife. And I thought it was kind of tough myself.
I struggled mightily. I can feel you.
Yeah. That's why I said I'm going to have fun with this. I knew I was going to have fun with it, too.
Yeah, it really had me trying to remember, like, what are actual set names, right? Yeah. It's like, what besides what I just, like, call things. I was like, oh, wait, I remember the little picture. I remember the symbol. Which is it, right?
Yeah.
I was closing my eyes and go through my basic land collection. I'm like, what basic land sets do I have? Yeah, okay.
That's interesting. I mean, that you have the capability of doing that, you know. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is there anything we want to say before we let the listeners go?
Thanks again for joining us, Stephen. It's great to have you.
It's definitely been a blast being on here. It was a great time. Like I said, it's been great being able to work with you, help you guys out, and do even content on the YouTube. Don't forget to check out the Unstable Realm Gaming.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Stephen, again, I appreciate you coming on today's show, man. And we're going to let the listeners go by ending with, please check us out over on the Facebook group, Magic the Gathering Players Group. Please go check out our guest and our partner, Unstable Realm, on YouTube. And check out our sponsor, NorthValleyGames.com. Use promo code TCC2021. And until next time, keep spell slinging.